Think that what the Buddha taught is for studying carefully to have one's own understanding. Because if one just do what one is told, it's not one's own understanding at all. And when we talk about that, it's like save yourself or something like that. Does it mean that the other's panya cannot eradicate the other's ignorance? It has to be one's own panya. We cannot depend on the other's panya. So Buddha taught us to have panya, but not by doing something, but by listening until one can understand reality, which he has enlightened.
But the way you do that depends on the accumulations or temperament or whatever.
But it has to be panya.
Yes.
Even samatha or jhana has to be done with panya.
You just said each one is responsible, but there's no one. No one.
But akusala dhamma and kusala dhamma.
I don't know. I mean, just me asking. You just said that, and I was told also that there's no one. How to reconcile this?
It's just a shorthand when we say each is responsible. It's just a shorthand for saying these particular jitas. The jita now with panya is responsible, not any other one.
Like a shorthand.
It's like a shorthand. But as you say, actually, no.
No.
My,
nobody.
Nobody. Han and I were also talking earlier about anatta as being the opposite of atta, and here's a topic we can never agree. Sakaya Ditti, he appreciates, is referring to how there's no person, no body, but if we're talking about the cup or the clock or the biscuits, but there are no biscuits today.
No biscuits.
He cannot appreciate that taking it for biscuits is atawa dupadana, that it can be any taking it for atta.
So do you mean that only the body can be attanuditi?
Because there's atta.
Yeah.
I will take that.
Yeah. But
the five aggregates are involved in the atta order.
Okay. The softness here is atta or anatta?
Softness.
That which is soft is atta or anatta. Here.
Yeah.
Atta or anatta?
It is atta.
And what about the pillow? Atta or anatta, the softness?
The pillow?
Yes.
Pillow is no atta. That my understanding is.
We are talking about softness.
Oh. Softness is the same.
Yes, softness is the same, no matter where it arises.
Yes. Yes.
So softness there and softness here is rupa.
Yes.
Atta or anatta.
Yes.
Softness itself is atta or anatta. Softness is not different at all, no matter where is it, here or there. Softness itself. As softness here is not self, how can softness there be self or something? It has to be the same. Softness is softness. Softness is anatta here, and softness there is also anatta too.
No, but we are talking about the atta wa dupadana and the sakaya.
Yes.
The difference between
because
sakaya and atta wa.
There are two words, atta and anatta. They are opposite.
Yes.
And when we talk about atta nutiti, we talk about the belief or the idea that something's there, permanent. The atta is permanent. It does not arise. It doesn't fall away. That's the meaning of atta, right?
My understanding is atta is yourself, no? Atta.
But what is
five,
it? Is the rupa from head to toe self?
Five aggregates, yes.
Five aggregates. So it includes atta. Hardness and softness in the
yes,
body too.
Yes, yes.
But when we are talking about the absolute reality, softness is softness.
Well, we are talking about the atta-vadu and sakka-aditi,
right.
Not other aspects.
Yes, but in Tipitaka it says that atta-nutiti and sakkaya-titi has the same meaning. If
yes.
There is no atta here, there is no sakkaya-titi as mine.
So that's what I'm saying, the same.
Yes, but this is atta, but if this is not mine, it's not me. But hardness is hardness, anywhere. anytime. As hardness is anatta here, so hardness is always anatta. It cannot change from being atta to anatta or from anatta to atta because they have the same characteristic. And softness is rupa, it cannot be nama. Hardness is rupa, it cannot be nama. So we cannot change the characteristic of any reality at all because it's the absolute reality, no self. In order to get rid or to eradicate the idea of self, when there is the perfect understanding of realities as they are, because the rupa here or the rupa there or wherever rupa is rupa. It doesn't belong to anyone at all because it arises by its own condition, kamma or citta or utu or ahara.
In other words, it's because of the not understanding of softness or hardness here that we take this for a body, that there is sakaya ditti, because of the lack of understanding of softness or hardness as just a rupa, just that which is experienced. So whether we call it sakaya ditti or atavyu, actually it's just the lack of understanding of the dharma.
So you are saying that it is two different things, sakaya ditti and atavada, two different things.
They're both atavyu, but when this softness or hardness is taken for a body or me, this is sakaya ditti. But when this hardness is taken for a box of tissues, it's not taken for me, but it's still the same wrong view of atta.
That is difficult to get. For me, it is difficult.
People often refer to intentionally reflecting on some aspect, such as a sutta, like one Khan and another friend find helpful to reflect on maybe every day, is the one about the five factors of aging, illness, death, being parted from those ones dear to, and karma. So they may have some kind of practice of reading or reflecting on a particular sutta every day, and they find this useful. Do you have any comment on that?
The usefulness is to know that it's not self.
You mean the reflection at the moment or whatever one reads about? Mm-hmm. Would you elaborate a little?
Not self.
Well, in that sutta, in the third part of the sutta, the Buddha said, you have to reflect that these things, that aging, death, so on,
yes,
occurs not only to you, but also to other people. Not only to you, to other people. So the Buddha said like that. If there is no self, then what is the distinction necessary for yourself and the other self?
Without absolute reality, can there be aging?
I don't know. I'm only referring to this sutta. That is what the Buddha said. You have to contemplate that this happens not only to me, but to other people. And I even have asked Searo that by reflecting that this happens not only to me, but other people as well. This is like an anticlimax. Like an anticlimax, how can it lead to Meghajnana? Because in that sutta, it clearly says that if you reflect, this happens not only to you, but to other people, you get the Meghajnana in the sutta.
But if there is still the idea of self, can there be the understanding of the arising and falling away, which is dukkha of the first noble truth?
I'm not saying it. I'm only quoting the sutta.
I'm
saying difficulty to get to understand that. Right. Just by contemplating, it's not only me, but other people are also suffering. How can you reach Meghajnana?
And what's me and what's the other? That should be known too. Did Buddha say anything about absolute realities?
Not only that.
Only
if the sutta, if you have the sutta, I can find out that.
And what about Abhidhamma and Vinaya?
No, I'm talking about the sutta only. What the Buddha said in the sutta. If you contemplate that this happens not only to you, but to other people, further, a disciple of the noble ones considers this: I am not the only one subject to illness. Who has not gone beyond illness? I am not the only one subject to death. Who has not gone beyond death? And so on. When he or she reflects like this, the factors of path take birth. If he sticks with that path, develops it and cultivates it, and then the factors are abandoned
and obsessions destroyed in the sutta.
And what's the path? I'd like to know about the path. How to develop that?
He doesn't say how to develop. He just says that if you reflect like this...
So no way to develop?
That's why I was asking you, Siaro, that point. Just by reflecting in this way, how can one attain Mecca?
Sorry, it doesn't say that. That says, and then you cultivate. So it's not enough just to look at your life expectancy and the life expectancy of others. But
yeah, it sticks with that. But the path factors will arise first, and then you develop. Even to get onto that path, but by reflecting...
It doesn't say that's all you have to do. That says that by that reflection you begin to understand the path. That's all it says. And then, my understanding of that is then you have to develop and cultivate it, not just by keep reflecting on your expected age or whatever else, but by other things, by all the other things that you're doing.
What I'm emphasizing is, I am not the only one. I am not the only one. That five aspects. I am not the only one subject to that. But there are others also subject to that. By reflecting that, you reach the path. So how is that?
Can we know more about I and the other?
I don't know. What is that? It's only you, the other.
Yes, but can we have more understanding about what is meant by I and the other?
But like, that's the only concept.
But what about the five khandhas? The Rupa Khanda and the four Nama Khandhas. Is that I or not I?
Collectively, it's I. I is collectively, five aggregates.
So, instead of saying the five khandhas, can we simply say I? And the others also have five khandhas?
Yes.
And we can simply say the other.
Yes.
But actually, there are five khandhas, no one. Rupa Khanda is Rupa Khanda. Vedana Khanda is Vedana Khanda. So in that sense, it means that what we take for I and the others are only khandhas.
In that case, the Buddha would have said the five aggregates.
Mm-hmm.
The Buddha was always very clear. He would not have said...
I think the problem is because you like to read each sutta separately and not consider others. But when we read one sutta where he's using I and you, one has to keep in mind that in so many other suttas he talks about the khandhas. You can't say, in those ones he's talking about the khandhas, but this one, no more khandhas.
Are you just brushing that aside or do you believe that?
Well, no comments.
I have a question for you. If there are the five khandhas, well, we learn that there's the five khandhas, and you're picking this one, what else is there but the five khandhas?
Not yet.
I think your question originally was how, just by reflecting on aging, sickness,
that was okay.
Does that lead to the arising of the path? Mm-hmm. The fact is, it doesn't lead to the arising of the path unless, as Kunsuchin first mentioned, one appreciates that it's talking about anatta, about khandhas. So if by just reflecting on old age and sickness and death with an idea of me and other people...
These are realities. You have to go for realities. That part of the sutta is go for realities, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, no path can arise.
Okay. Agreed.
Agreed? For now.
I was just also reflecting on your comment earlier about working out one's own salvation, or your response is about each person responsible for development of panya,
yeah,
and reconciling that with the teaching that there is no person.
Yes. Okay?
And I think it was Venerable Gamananda said there are jittas and jetasikas.
Yes.
And namas and rupas.
Yes.
We sometimes perhaps forget that among the jittas is the Bhavanga jitta.
Yes.
Which is the stream.
Yes.
Right? Bhavanga sota.
Yes.
So that when one Bhavanga jitta falls away, it conditions the arising of another one immediately afterwards.
Yes.
And that succession of Bhavanga jittas is what we mean when we talk about an individual or a person.
That I have to think about.
the stream of Bhavangas is continuous,
yes,
except when there's a sense or experience arising, seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness or thinking. But when those things are not there, then it's Bhavanga Citta, Bhavanga Sota.
We can never know the Bhavanga Citta, because in order to know anything, the Bhavanga Citta must cease to exist. It will be thinking consciousness or something else. So, I mean, we can never know, we can never experience that. So I would say that the idea of a person is not the Bhavanga Citta, but the seeing, the hearing, the thinking, and so on.
But how you connect this Bhavanga Citta to that each one is responsible for his own action? How will you connect?
Within that stream of Bhavanga, there can be the development of Panya. But the development of Panya within that stream of Bhavanga has no bearing on development of Panya within another stream of Bhavanga.
What you just said is okay, I accept it, but the connection between that fact and the fact that one is responsible for one's own action.
Well, we have to understand that a lot of the content of the sutta is conventional language, but it's conventional language that's referring to dhammas. The Buddha used I and me and you and he.
Instead of I am responsible, one is responsible for one, how would you see that in the reality?
Okay. That the development of Panya within one stream of Bhavanga does not affect the development of Panya within another stream of Bhavanga.
I'll think about it.
Also, we often have discussions like yesterday about reflections on death and the sort of thing that can be at any time. Why in the text does it say one who wants to develop this should go into solitary retreat and exercise attention wisely, death will take place, etc.? Is this just referring to those who have highly developed samatha, or does it mean those who are already in solitary retreat?
Can it be this moment?
I think so. So is solitary retreat referring to this moment? Okay. And also we were discussing about sila as foundation for samadhi and panya. And Han likes to give the simile of the roots of a tree, which are living. They're not like a dead foundation. So there has to be the roots and the tree growing at the same time. When it refers to sila as a foundation, what exactly is meant?
Can there be panya without sila?
No.
There can be sila without panya.
Yes.
But whenever there is panya, there must be sila.
Yes. It always arises with panya. So this is all that's meant.
What I was saying was the sila as a foundation and samadhi and panya are mutually supportive. It is not the like a foundation of a building. You know, it won't help further than the basis for the superstructure to stand on. But in the root of a tree, the root and the tree is mutually beneficial. Without the tree, the roots cannot grow. Without the roots, the tree cannot grow. That's what I'm saying. They're mutually supportive. Well, sila is not just a foundation, not just a foundation itself. Mutually supportive with samadhi and panya.
Yes, but what kind of sila that will support samadhi and panya?
What kind of sila?
Can the just five sila support the samadhi and panya without any understanding?
For,